Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Hey Kids Comics. This is issue 75. Holy cow, 75. Rethinking the Legends, this changes everything. With me, as always, is producer, co-host, fearless leader, Gadfly, Magpie, and Ragtime band leader, Cole, the Jedi Cole Houston. You over there? You over there? You just mumbling to yourself?
Yeah, I am a one-man ragtime band.
You are. You have cymbals attached to your knees. We brought back, and we are going to be bringing back, if we can at all help it, and he doesn't escape the cage we have him in, sure. Bobby Mandingo Blakey over there.
Only from the waist down.
Well, you're like a centaur, Bobby. Wow, that's the way we start a show. Bobby's going to be joining us, hopefully, for all of the remaining issues of this arc. We don't give him enough due. He is a huge part of this show. Can't thank him enough for being here. He provides. He is the great provider. He is the hunter to my gatherer, the Mork to my Mindy. And
this is still the comic show, right?
No. You are the sunshine.
I walked in and there's a ragtime band and a mandingo, and now I'm some kind of a weird bonding thing with you. So I'm not really sure what we're going with this time.
Well, welcome to Hey Kids Comics, Bobby.
That's right. Fair enough.
So
this is what happens when you don't listen to the show.
It's just that you're doing. Last issue, we discussed Elseworlds titles. We kind of blanketed this story arc. Elseworlds titles, multiverse, what if type titles. Cole, what are we getting ourselves into tonight?
Well, in this particular case, we want to explore the things, pretty much the stories, the plots, the little things where what started out as an Elseworlds starts to spin, or, you know, started out as an alternate storyline or a dream sequence or you name it. Suddenly finds itself in the actual continuity, in the world of the comic that it was supposedly not a part of.
Okay. Like, for instance, they're like, well, this is pretty good. I should run with this.
Exactly.
Right on. So we discussed it a little bit last issue. Does anybody have a favorite instance of this happening? Bobby, do you have a favorite instance of this kind of happening?
You know, up until the most common, widely, you know, with the New 52 stuff, I really wasn't annoyed by anybody that did that. I always just thought it was lazy storytelling.
It was hacky.
I'm like, look, if you want to revamp it, just in that series, start it over and give them a new story, or, you know, write it better into the story where, you know, some of the people, they just would like, look, let's give him a new suit. This one got tore up. And then they relaunched the character. Oh, they changed his idea because they didn't like it. So they meet a character that suddenly your entire world was a lie, you know?
Yeah.
And I've always hated that crap. So, I mean, up until the New 52 and some of the Marvel Now type of stuff, I've actually not been a fan of any of it. I like the Elseworlds stuff as standalones, but I didn't like it when they bring it into the books.
Into the standard continuity.
Yeah, I think the only ones that actually work for me, and it's probably not really the same thing, but is like when you take characters like Chloe from Smallville and they start working them into the comics.
Yeah.
You know, and Harley Quinn from the Batman anime series and started making her part of the comics. You know, and that kind of stuff I dug because they're separate characters. You didn't have to mess with them. But, you know, dealing with the regular stuff and changing it with no logical sense always kind of irritated me.
Right on. Cole, what about you?
I think, you know, that's a good point there as well, that, you know, bringing in the characters from outside the universe, because there is a strong precedent for that we can get to in a little bit. And I would also go so far as to say that this issue can also cover things like the retooling, the revamping, the reselling, repackaging, like Man of Steel.
Okay. Go on.
So you've got cases where, you know, you've got your literally where they jumpstart or restart a title from scratch, and it literally does take over and change everything from what it
was to what it is.
Yeah, from what it was before. And a good example of that, of course, is the aforementioned Man of Steel, in which, you know, one of the things you can do when you relaunch is just, you know, okay, everything's different now.
Right.
What I did like about Man of Steel and where Superman went after that was the fact that they winked at what came before.
Right.
And said, we can allow these things to happen, but we're going to allow them to happen in a different way. So you had a lot of characters that were, you know, one shot or around a little bit or recurring occasionally, remanded to just being a one-shot character like Bizarro.
Yeah.
You know, Bizarro becomes a failed experiment to clone Superman.
See, I didn't know that.
And without the benefit of Tar.
without a weird British guy. Life finds a way, Cole. Life finds a way.
That's right.
Can someone tell me, since you brought up Bizarro, do we know where he got that cool necklace that he always wears?
I seem to remember him making it.
Did he?
Like, with his weird heat vision.
Yeah, because, you know, you get
some... Actually, that was cold vision.
That's right.
You know, you get some people that draw him and they don't give it to him, but then I really always dig when they give him that, just that big stone block or whatever, and it's got his name on it or whatever.
That's Bizarro Bling. He actually... Yeah. Or sometimes... Gangsta when Gangsta wasn't cool.
That's right, and sometimes the one that kills me is sometimes when it just has, like, the number 2 on it or number 1 or whatever on it.
But Ed McGuinness...
Yes.
did the best representation of that during the Batman Superman World's Finest, or what was it? What was it?
I think it was just a Batman Superman series.
Right, which, by the way, how much of that was supposedly in continuity while we're talking about this? Like,
that's a whole nother issue that I have with some of the books. Like, I think that's one thing that's kind of working for some of these relaunches with the two big ones, because I think they started getting so far in left field, they started forgetting what was continuity, what was just, this story happened some other time, but it doesn't matter when because it's not going to affect anybody else. You know, but inevitably it was always something that was so major that it's like, how could this not have an effect on this story, you know?
Right, yeah. But they had, like, my favorite one from that series, the Batman Superman, was the Supergirl series, which, if I'm not wrong, was kind of folded into regular continuity.
You think it was, yeah.
Because she crash-landed, they found her, Apocalypse wanted her, they made an animated movie out of it.
True.
So
that way they could further cement its place.
Right. But I don't think it was ever supposed to be necessarily, like, straight up continuity, like any of those books are. What was the one where Batman and Superman go from multiverse world to world and like are wrecking stuff?
That was actually cleverly titled World's Funnest.
World's Funnest.
Oh yeah, because that's the selling point.
No, it was literally like I think it was, wasn't it like Batmite and Mr. had joined forces against Batman and Superman and literally like shot them through all the Elseworlds worlds and such.
I think so. I think that's what happened.
Are you referring to like Mr. Mitzelpedalik, whatever his name is?
There was a rolling R in there.
I was talking about Mr.
Are you Shaggy?
I'm just making sure we're talking about the same foreign entity.
It's you use the same pronunciation form as people use when they see Casper.
Or apparently singing bad George Michael karaoke.
I think saying that to me sounded more like Roscoe Pico Trey.
So who else thinks that Grant Morrison is a nightmare for these things?
I think in general.
You're not talking about the Saturday Night Live guy, right?
No, I'm talking about the comic book writer. Baseball has not been good to Grant Morrison, the comic book writer.
It's like, Grant Morrison? I didn't know he had anything to do with comics.
Because he's the guy that relaunched Batman, right? Like, essentially, like, him and Tony Daniel
I thought you were going to say Tony Danza.
Grant Morrison, Tony Danza relaunched Batman. God, I wish.
Grant Morris and Tony Danza bring you Batman.
I think you're thinking of Garrett Morris, by the way. I'm not going to... Yeah,
I know, but it doesn't work if I say Garrett because then it don't sound the same.
That's true. But Grant Morrison strikes me as one of those guys that was, as a kid, a comic book fan. But he was one of those comic book fans that goes to convention and argues, like this happened on this panel of this page of this issue of the comic. And then they gave him a pen and said, write a comic. And so he remembers all of these errata and nuances that happened 40 years ago. And he's like, I'm going to bring that back. And they're sitting in the bullpen like, God, no. Why did we do this to ourselves? Now what do we do? Like the Batman of what was the crazy Batman where he went insane. And he had the baseball bat and the bat radio, which was just like a ham radio or a Batman of Zur-Ab-Nur or whatever they called that. Is anybody with me on that?
I have some vague knowledge of it, I think. Is that the one they did the action figure of?
Or? Yes. Yes, it is. Where he makes his own costume out of, like, hobo clothes. No, I'm not kidding.
I know you're not kidding. I know what you're talking about. I'm just laughing because it's just the thought of hobo clothes.
Hobo clothes sounds very reminiscent of people hands.
You know what? I was fixing to say the same thing.
we have to let you in a little something that people hands came up this weekend at the North Texas Comic Book Show. Where Bobby was describing a very poor costume where the guy had like a werewolf type mask.
No, hold on. You have to tell what the costume was from that we were discussing.
All right. Well, apparently it was from a pornographic Beauty and the Beast. I called it Beauty and the Beast with two backs.
Oh, yeah. Well,
here's the situation, though. Just the short version is it. I was describing his makeup costume and that it was so ridiculous because he had the beast head. And it was just his normal hands, but I said he just had normal people hands.
And I loved the word, the term people hands. I just thought that was...
We won't even go into the Tron guy conversation.
Oh, yeah, that's probably for the best.
Yeah.
But
anyway, back to topic at hand.
Hey, welcome to Hey Kids Comics. It doesn't matter. We'll talk about whatever. It's fine.
Welcome to Hey Kids Comics. This episode, People Hands.
People Hands. Oh, makes me uncomfortable. Things that make me uncomfortable.
People Gen 13. Hands. People Hands.
Gen 13. Oh, my God.
It's from the people who brought you Happy Feet.
Sad Hands.
I just envision this Happy Feet versus People Hands movie.
You know, there can't be anything less intimidating than a monster with people hands.
Right? Right?
Think about it. Like you got like a werewolf, like imagine like Werewolf by Night or, you know, Manshitsu. And Manshitsu full on, you know, half Shih Tzu, half man, except for the part that's half man is just his people hands. Like, yes. He's got the weird dog legs, you know, like in the the furry chest and the head, and then just some people hands. Like, I made a deal with the devil, but I wanted to keep my opposable thumbs because I got to open cans and shit. So, oh, man. All right, so Batman of Zur-Ab-Nur or whatever you want to call it. Yeah, that guy.
That was a good segue because Batman does, in fact, have... People hands.
It's an easy segue.
You are welcome.
So, yeah, like, are there... See, here's the thing. Like, are there instances of a big... What are the big ones? Like, what are the big ones that this has happened with?
Well, hasn't DC done it, like, twice
times,
or 30 times?
Times or... They do it at every age break. They're like, oh, we got too much continuity.
No. They do it at every financial break when they're not making any money.
That's true.
Well, the most prevalent, the most obvious, of course, is with the Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah.
Because that was literally the one that changed everything.
Literally changed it, yeah. Well, DC's really good at changing everything.
Yeah, and they like it a lot.
They do. They go to that well a lot. Because
I'll give them credit though, because when they go, they go all in.
Right.
That's true.
It's ballsy.
Marvel does like little subtle changes. You know, like they did their Ultimates line, and then suddenly somehow, because the Ultimates stuff became popular, they started using some of the visuals and the looks for the films, and now that's kind of how it is in the comics, and they just kind of slowly push it on you. It's like, right. No, it's okay. You saw it in the movie. Captain America dresses like this now.
Right. He's got a more tactical yeah. costume. This is the way it is. Like,
yeah, it's like they're doing their Marvel Now thing, which is, it's not. I don't think it's so much changing the continuity, but it's their relaunch.
What is that, by the way? Can you
explain?
That's all
it is. It's basically them just relaunching a lot of their titles.
Okay.
It's almost like the Heroes Reborn idea.
Oh. Speaking of.
Hold on. It's kind of that idea, but instead of some massive storyline that changes everything, they are just like, it reintroducing characters. You know, they're bringing X-Force back, and they're bringing, you know, Peter Parker's coming back.
And they are like, and we're going to get, we have a story arc about this at some point coming up, but they are changing the numbering, aren't they? Like to Marvel.now?
Yeah, it's Marvel Now with an exclamation point. And they have, what they've started doing.
Now, that way, if you're not certain they're serious about it, there's right. that exclamation point.
Exactly.
They're excited. Well,
what gets confusing with them, especially with their big Age of Ultron crossover thing they did, where that was kind of their wiping out the universe, but not.
Right. they need to commit. What Marvel needs to do is commit to something.
Exactly. They don't commit. They do it. They make this big adjustment, you know, because with the Age of Ultron, they killed everybody, just about. And then, you know, they have this post-apocalyptic type world, and they're trying to save, and they go back in time, and they save this, and they rechange it. Yeah, but their numbering system is where they throw everybody off. Is, you know, they have the Marvel X-Men, Amazing X-Men number 1.now or whatever. But then they put out, you know, Ultimate X-Men or Ultimate Avengers AU. It's supposed to be after Ultron. You know,
oh, come on.
I doing the articles on them, I was confused on what the hell I was writing about. You know,
I don't blame you, because my first instinct, I thought that was gold.
I thought it was Australia. But
I was falling back on my rudimentary chemistry knowledge.
But they seem to stick to the plan of change certain elements, you know, like the current thing with Spider-Man being Dr. Octopus.
Right. Which is cool, by the way. I'm sorry, but that is cool. You want to talk about a change?
I hate to tell you, I have an article fixing to go up.
I know. They're bringing it back. Dan Slott and I forget Humberto Ramos, which is cool because he doesn't get enough work. So I'm glad he's coming back to do some Marvel.
Doesn't get enough work. That guy's been working for Marvel for years.
But I haven't seen him prevalent.
That's because you're not reading anything he's drawing.
Shut up, Bobby. I only read stuff that Jim Shooter's involved with, all right?
Oh, wow.
Right.
Yeah, I only read Steve Irwin stuff.
Lin Wein. Sorry, I'm hip deep in a Lin Wein Wolverine story arc right now. So, yeah, I mean, Marvel, they need to commit. If they're going to make a change, they need to commit. And I think they're scared to commit because of, every time they change something in a big way, everybody freaks out. Everybody
Marvel Now was their answer to the New 52.
Well, they needed an answer to the New 52.
I can't judge it based on the reading it because I don't read their books. But
that's a good reason not to judge it.
I don't know. I mean, I really don't read anybody's book. The only reason I'm reading DC stuff is because they sent it to me for review now.
Like I said, you got a tough life.
Yeah, I don't go to the store and buy stuff anymore. The stuff that Marvel has sent me, the couple times I've read, and it wasn't bad. It was good. But it's like you're saying, they're not committing to the change. They're just relaunching and not revamping.
And there's nothing worse than an attempt to ease readers into a comic book that's more confusing than the comic book that they're trying to ease the readers into. You know, like, oh, no, 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 this is a jumping on point. This is, what do they call all their jumping on points? Dot one or dot...
Yeah, something like, you know, that way you know you can jump in, and then, you know, and then they try to make bigger steps of what they think is an equivalent of like bringing Angela into the Marvel universe.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
was a
it was everything and poorly.
Right.
It was strange and kind of cool, but then at the same time, like, does anybody really care about Angela anymore?
No. Did anybody really care in the first place? Like,
yeah, I mean, Angela hasn't been relevant since about 1991.
Right.
Scarcely relevant then.
There's a reason McFarlane gave her back.
Yeah. And Marvel's like, great. You know, oh, here's one for you that Marvel hasn't bothered to use yet.
And I envision that pitch meeting, and they're like, look, we really want you to come back. We really want you to write. And he goes, well, I've got this character sitting here. We're like, we don't want her. He goes, well, I'll do this for you if you let her come back and be part of your group.
Right.
And I'm like, ugh. All right, put her in the Guardians.
Well, it's kind of like making somebody take your old girlfriend on the...
Right. And that's when they throw over the Guardians of the Galaxy, and then they're like, ah, crap, now we're going to make a movie, and this book's going to be big, and everybody's going to know about that bitch.
That's right. Everybody's going to know what we did.
And then the worst part is they're going to want Angela in the movie in, like, the second film.
Right. And then McFarlane's going to be pissed. He goes, well, she appeared in my film, and nobody caught it.
Yeah, that was like 30 seconds of her ass.
Yeah,
that's because nobody cared.
Yeah, she walking through a crowd, and he only knew because she had spawn earrings on, which makes no sense.
Well, yeah, right? That's just stupid.
Like, that irritated me in the comic, too. I'm like, okay, she's against him, and why is she wearing his product line?
Exactly. I'll never forget the person, and I can't remember the person's name, so apparently I will forget, but I'll never forget the situation where the person who was telling me about the Spawn movie came up and was like, and Angela's in it! And I go, so? Like,
I'm gonna have to be Rick for a second here and say I actually was excited because I'm watching it, and it was like that Easter egg moment, you know, which we didn't get a lot of those back in the day. So when she walked across, I was like, holy shit, that's Angela! But then I was like, holy shit, there she went. What the hell? You know, she's not doing anything. What was the point of that?
My favorite instance of this, and I can only remember a couple of them, but Marvel UK, back when there was a Marvel UK, they used to just...
Speaking of things that haven't been relevant.
Right. They used to piecemeal Death's Head into every comic book whenever they could.
Yes.
I'm going to draw...
I mean, it was just shy of... Death's Head would appear... And to be like, check out Marvel UK, your favorite news vendor.
Right. It would be like, where are you? Wolverine would be like, where are you from? I'm from Marvel's UK line, where there are such books as.
Well, and what is the deal with the UK comics situation anyway? Are they just, I know they're behind and they're confused in the way they publish them.
Is it even a thing anymore?
Yeah, I'm getting stuff from the UK for DC now.
Why?
And they're making a magazine type comic, but it's got two different comics in it. So it's almost like a heavy metal type magazine, but with pre-existing issues of a DC book, of two or three books thrown in one book.
Why?
Okay, yeah. That's actually not uncommon. Even back in the mid 80s, my friend Steve, who's been on the show before and on various other shows, were on. He'd gone on a high school trip to Europe and brought back some comics from, like, Spain and France. And, like, one of them was Strange, which was this French one, which apparently Strange is either a French word or it's just really cool English word that French people
like.
It's
like a tattoo that you get in France.
That's right. Nobody knew what it meant, but it was great. But what Strange had in it was it reprinted a single issue of about five different comics that were each of those was from about a year or so ago.
Okay.
And that's apparently how a lot of that's marketed. They force you. It would be like if you wanted to get X-Men, if you were collecting X-Men, then you were being forced to read Thor, Iron Man, and Squirrel Girl.
Oh, I wish.
Well, you know what's even funnier about the UK stuff, you know, since we're talking about revamping, is they even revamp some of their characters in their own series. You know, they put out Death's Head 2, and it had a different Death's Head kill the other Death's Head so they could have another character.
Naturally.
I mean, Death's Head was sort of the original Deadpool, right? Like, he was their answer to Lobo, almost.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Because, I mean, there's even issues, you know, with Wolverine and Captain America fighting Death's Head. And yeah, it's
they
like,
would, I'm telling you, they would shoehorn him into any, like, what is the marketable character? Because what were the other books in the Marvel UK line? It was Knights of the Pendragon. Was Starbrand one of theirs? I can't remember.
Well, and now we're going to have
Kickers?
To
Well, Starbrand was actually a... that was New Universe.
Oh, yeah. There's another one for you.
Was in the annals of bad ideas.
Right. They did have Motor Mouth and Kill Power.
God, Bobby.
And much later, they rushed out a book called Plasma so they could sue whatever the hell imprint... Jim Shooter was working for at the time. Who had Epic Comics or whatever that was? That had not Epic, but Defiant, who had the Warriors of Plasm.
Yes,
it was originally titled Plasm, and then Marvel rushed out this UK book called Plasmer, so they could sue them.
Oh, Marvel!
Well, it's funny, and it's, you know, we always talk about the creators that worked on these old books. That the character Killpower, you know, from the whole Motormouth Kill Power crap from the UK series, was actually created by Gary Frank, who's pretty badass now.
Right.
But just to think about it, the characters that they've done before, you know, it was like the, what was the other one with the chick comic and having a, oh, what the hell was that? What we talked about it was like the lady comics with the pregnant Mary Jane or the pregnant Aunt May or whatever it was.
Right.
Oh, yes, Trouble.
Trouble. Yes. And it was the guy that did kick ass and
Yeah. So does anybody remember, I like the fact that we're just dwelling on the bad here instead of the good. But I have to say, I have to ask, does anybody remember the de-aging of Tony Stark?
No, I don't know. I was never a huge Iron Man fan, so I honestly don't have a lot of past history with him.
I want to say it was the early 2000s where they made him a kid for a while. Like, and it made it into continuity. Tony Stark was a child, like a teenager, because, you know, that's cool.
Because that idea always works.
Right. It was magic or something. I was like, God, come on, guys. This is before, like, Fraction got a hold of it.
Is this another one of those... changes that we're trying to grab a younger audience?
Yes.
By
which is all these things are. It's all marketing. Everything we're talking about right now is marketing. That tested well, so we should include. Okay, so here's what we're going to do.
It tested well with those kids that were there, not with anybody else.
Right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a Magneto and Professor X, and we're going to make this weird super creature out of them that nobody can stop. And we're going to use that to relaunch the Marvel Universe. And when we relaunch it, we're going to relaunch it with four books. And we're going to take our all-star team and put it on those four books so that everybody buys it. Because you know what Captain America doesn't have when you're tactical? Speaking of,
don't say it.
Speaking
don't
of
say
people
it.
Hands. Speaking of people hands.
Do you say it?
I'm going to say it. Because when your feet are about 2 centimeters wide and just teetering on breaking on your ankles at all times, you really need to balance that out with about 6,000 pouches. So,
I'm a firm believer in the pouch drawing.
Oh, Bobby, why?
Yeah,
because it fills up space.
I'm heavily into that.
And you know what makes me really laugh about all that is they didn't really change the origin stories of any of the characters. Like, when they relaunched everything, everybody basically stayed the same. They just relaunched it. Like, okay, Onslaught destroyed everything. Well, we need to bring back our characters. How are we going to do it? Oh, the same way we did before. We'll just put LaFeld on it. Like, what? No. Except for the fact that Bucky was an analog for, what was her name? The one from Dark Knight Returns. The Robin from Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, I can't remember her name.
You know what else will sell some comics? 700 covers for each one.
30 covers,
including a Christmas cover for each one that we let Jim Lee draw. That'll be awesome.
That would be awesome.
That's what happened. Do you remember that?
So it was awesome.
I still have the Fantastic Four one around here somewhere.
Well, you know what? And when you talk about the bathing suit, I know this isn't a continuity situation, but I think we've already kind of passed that. But that whole obsession with drawing, and I think you might need to do a show on this, the beach and bikini.
Oh, yeah.
The swimsuit issues. And there was even a poster I had. Wills Portacio did an X-Men poster.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, them playing basketball and stuff. And I swear to you, the Wolverine had two left feet.
Because you don't care. You don't even look. You don't even see it.
I remember having it up there for a year or something in my room. And I looked at it one day. I'm like, what? Why is his big toes on the same side?
Because Rogue has these giant breasts that she never had before.
Right.
I remember now, that poster. I actually remember that poster, as sad as that is to say.
Now, what are your feelings on, since we're talking about changing continuity and stuff,
yeah.
The flip side is this isn't necessarily changing full continuity or changing up stories, but when you have a different character taking over a character that's pre-existing.
So are you talking about like Ant-Man?
No. Not necessarily a new person, but like taking over totally somebody different. So you say like Colossus taking over for Juggernaut or Green Lantern taking over for the
Spectre. Oh, okay.
You know, it changes the dynamic of that character.
I'm okay with it if it's done right. For instance, the two big ones that come to mind immediately. Well, there's three big ones that come to mind immediately. Four big ones. This happens a lot, apparently, because they just keep coming into my mind. An instance of it not being done right: Ben Reilly, Spider-Man. That was.
Oh yeah, that's nine kinds of wrong.
Right. Right.
Which one? Nah, you have to tell me on that, because that one.
Clone Saga.
Okay, he is the clone. Okay.
Yes, the Clone Saga.
Which they're now talking about doing in the new movies.
Oh, really?
No, dear God, no.
There's now been word rumbling in the Clone Saga coming to the Amazing Spider-Man series.
Then Batman as Azrael, as Jean-Paul, whatever, I think could have been done better.
One started out awesome.
It did.
And it went down. It just went stupid really fast.
It did. It got dumb. Good ones? I still stand by the death of Superman as being a good one. I know that's dating me and making me.
My opinion on that one, I agree with you completely. I think it was brilliant the way they handled the marketing, the way they did the story, and how the books all built up to where the last issue was all like just splash pages.
Yeah.
But I had a problem with the feeling the need to fill the void.
See, I didn't. That's what I liked.
I hated that part of it, because it's like they didn't even give you time to do like when they killed off Robin recently, you know, the Damian Wayne Robin. Excuse me. They took time with all the books and did issues to have the characters react to his death and let them. You know, they had, you know, for that month, they put out the covers of the funeral and people weeping and stuff. But you never really got really good stories. Instead, you got the next week launch of all the books that are going to replace it.
Right, right.
So it went from, here's a funeral, let's party, we've got a new Superboy and a cyborg. And
yeah, there was a bit of a rush to get to the reign of the Superman, because they were really, that was a point where arcing was really starting to come into vogue.
Right.
Right.
And there was, I think, I agree, a bit of a rush to get to the next arc.
Yeah, it didn't feel like that. It came and went. I remember when the book came out and it was all over the news and he's dead. Next week, hey, there's all new characters. Superman who? You know? And it was like,
yeah, there's Superboy and the Eradicator and the Cyborg. And
you know, it's not like they killed Hoppy. Steel. You know? You kill Hoppy, nobody cares. You kill Superman, it's an issue.
Right.
That's because live or die, nobody cared about Hoppy.
Yeah, but I'll have you know that Hoppy made me some money this weekend.
That's right. You showed me.
Right or wrong, and there's a right on the bell curve, there's a right and a wrong one of these. So I'm going to take a barometer, okay? Death of Batman, death of Captain America. Which one is the good one? Which one is the bad one?
Wow.
I think the idea behind the Captain America death was awesome.
Right.
Because I think, and I love that it caused such an outrage with people. Like, fans were upset that Batman died. Everyone was upset that Captain America died.
Right.
You know, and it kind of showed the mentality of the character and how strong that character had and his influence, you know, because he was so huge during, you know, in the early days of his creation of during the, you know, the wartime and all that stuff. And then he kind of got regulated just a generic comic character. I think the idea behind Captain America was better, but I don't think it was actually executed all that great.
But it was better than Batman. I'm sorry. But
yeah, no, it was. And the Batman one was, like I said, started out strong, and then somebody halfway through it says, well, we didn't really think this out, but it's working, so let's just go with it.
Well, Cole's theory still stands as one of my favorite theories of all time about what happened in that book, which spawned the Hey Kids Comics cliche, time bullets. Like, I still love the idea that, and I wish they would do the comic of it. I wish that they would let Cole write this comic book where Darkseid...
I wish they would, too, just for the writing gig.
Yeah, it's where Darkseid, every time he uses Omega Beams, just sends people back to the same point in prehistory, and that's why we have superheroes now. Like, it's so brilliant. Like, it's so brilliant. But yeah, so what about a good... You know, we've been dwelling on the bad. We've got another 20 minutes of show.
Bad's more entertaining to talk about.
Well, let's talk about New 52, because like we said, DC's ballsy. I mean, DC did Crisis, right, which is Cole's bread and butter. Cole loves him some Crisis.
I do. It will always have a special place in my heart because it was sort of my entree into DC. And did shift my personal preferences away from Marvel.
So would that be something you would consider as a giant continuity shift for you? Like, I mean, it has to be. They wrote out how many characters because of that? Or folded in or wrote out or put them on different Earths? Or
yeah, well, basically, I mean, the problem with a lot of what followed many, many years later was that it undid Crisis. You know, we went to all this trouble to consolidate all these disparate worlds.
Well, it's Sisyphean when you get down to it, right? Like you can relaunch, but 10 years, 20 years from then, you've built up this continuity sewage in your septic tank that you've got to clean out because it just keeps backing up. So
yes.
You go, all right, well, okay, so we're going to do Infinite Crisis now, where Superboy punches through time. and then it builds up again. That one built up fast. What was the distance between Infinite Crisis and New 52?
There was precious little, if memory serves. I really wasn't following it closely, but it seemed like it was damn quick.
Right. So New 52 is probably the most recent, giant, ballsiest move that any comic creator has ever done. And I'll go on record saying that I think I was wrong. When we were doing, and we weren't doing this show at the time, I think we were doing Collector Sector when they were launching New 52. I came out as having a problem with it.
I think the reason it worked and they were smart is they changed just about everything with everybody, with the exception of Batman. They kept some of the continuity from the old series that I didn't realize at the time, but some of the story arcs with the Damian Waynes and the stuff like that,
right.
They carried them over while giving just enough change to kind of say, we changed it without doing it, but let everything else change. But on the bigger picture, when things weren't working, they were quickly canceling books.
Yeah, they were knocking books out like every six months.
I think that's what gave it legitimacy for me, because they're taking books and they're like, okay, this isn't working. We're not going to force it on you any longer. Get rid of it. Let's get another book. Let's do this. And I think they put smart creative teams on a lot of the characters, you know, and I mentioned to you the other day, I think they also, one of the biggest things for me is they made Aquaman a relevant character again.
Oh, so good.
And because he's one of the best books in their universe right now.
Right. Like, all of a sudden, it's so good. Like Aquaman is viable. He's strong.
His books are epic.
Right.
His books showcase that he's not just the guy talking to the dolphins. But they've shifted to where, like with the new story arc that just started or is fixing to start, they take him back to that classic feel, but still give it, you know, with it, it almost has a sci-fi medieval fantasy element to it, because it's dealing with the Atlantean kingdom, and then it's dealing with the surface world, and then the epic beasts, and you know, in the struggle. It's almost like a Game of Thrones underwater type of thing.
That's amazing. That is so cool. I will say this though, Flashpoint was kind of a mess. The actual Flashpoint, the lead up to the New 52, was kind of a mess.
See, and luckily I didn't see any of that. I came in. And matter of fact, I didn't read any of the New 52 when it started. I didn't get started with doing some of the review stuff, like I mentioned earlier, till later. So I started catching up via graphic novels.
Right.
So by the time I read it, I had no idea how we got to the New 52. I just had to accept that this is what was going on now.
But why didn't they – see, here's my question is, why didn't they do that to everybody? Like, you didn't need this convoluted – you know, piecemeal story about about the Flash, who, by the way, the catalyst for all change in the DC universe is the Flash.
Yeah.
Just anything you ever need, call in the Flash, kill him.
He certainly is going to be guaranteed a place in any story of sweeping change.
Right.
You don't get that without the Flash.
Well, you know, as a one of the things I've learned, you know, as a fan, you know, you get irritated when they change things with no reason. You get irritated when they change it with stupid reasons. But what I've found as, like, a creator, they start feeling pressure to, you know, where they, instead of just saying, you know what, we're canceling all our books, we're going to relaunch everything, we don't need a damn storyline, we want to do it because it's our shit, which is how it really should have been done, so they don't have to say this is why it changed.
Right.
Because, yeah. But if they keep that loophole, they can always, if something didn't work, they can always reset Flashpoint 2, just like Infinity Gauntlet 2, and make it change everything back. See, so give them that safety cushion, but instead of just, you know, like in my opinion, you'll say, I'm going to revamp, we're going to revamp DC, you're either going to stick with this or you're not, but that is a danger for business. You know, so there's a lot of variables, and some people, if you don't give them a reason, won't read it anymore.
Right. I mean, that's true. But you also could have done, like, okay, we're relaunching everything. I know this isn't a perfect world, but we're relaunching everything. From square one, we're going to jump right in the hairy middle of everything. You know, like, these are the characters that you know and love. We're going to keep the origins essentially the same. And we're just starting from go. Issue one of this is going to be, okay, it's Batman. We're in Gotham. It's a Joker story arc. You know who the Joker is. You know all the major players are there. You know, you get done with your first story arc, and then you go 1 year earlier, and you say, "This is what happened." You know, this is what happened. You don't need. You're already causing continuity errors when you do something like Flashpoint.
But see, they were smart though, because they didn't do a whole lot of origin story for anybody. They came back and did their zero issues, so they could tell all these backstories, and then they have the 0 year going on right now, or just wrapped up. For Batman, so you gave kind of some backstory to all the Batman characters in the Bat universe.
Right. So
they were very, I think they were very intelligent about how they handled this and how they executed it. But they also, these characters need, people don't want to admit it because they're stuck with nostalgia, but these characters needed to be updated. Superman and all these guys are dated. You know, and I love the uproar everybody had about Superman and his red tights.
Right.
You know, and that was going to ruin the character. And I'm like, does anybody look at it? Nobody really says, well, that looks stupid. It's, if you draw another character that was a brand new character, they'd be like, that looks like something from the 60s. You know, but you look at Superman, you're like, well, he's from way back then. Why is that okay? Because you're used to it.
Right. If you were to release that same character now, you're right. It would look really dated.
Nobody wouldn't publish it. Unless you made it some nostalgic character, they would not publish any of these characters. If they had brought Batman and Superman to them now, the way they looked back then, they would not publish it.
Well, unless they had those leg pouches.
Of course. Sure. As long as you have pouches, you can publish anything.
You can publish anything with pouches.
Right.
Batman is the one that needs more pouches than anybody, because I'm not buying all that shit in his utility belt.
As far as Marvel goes, I think my favorite one of these is House of M. And I'll go on record with that, And I think it is because of the setup for it was so ridiculous.
Well, wasn't Days of Future Past sort of a relaunch for? But I know it was just for the X-Men.
It was sort of a relaunch, and it was really, really good.
Right.
Like it was the first time.
I don't know that it really, because that was just sort of a. It was a two-issue story.
Right.
And I think you may be confusing it with something else, because it didn't really relaunch anything so much as sort of give you a... It does count as kind of an alternate future type of thing. Or
exactly,
alternate
exactly.
Right. Well, no, but I wasn't confusing it with anything else, because I've actually... It's been so long since I've read it, I couldn't even begin to tell you other than the time travel aspect.
There's sentinels.
Yeah, in and of itself, it really didn't give you anything that... We haven't seen anything that led you toward that end again that I'm aware of.
Right.
We haven't seen like the Sentinels really become dangerously close to what they were in that Days of Future Past storyline.
Right.
And as yet, Peter Dinklage has not become Oliver Trask.
Peter Dinklage can become whatever Peter Dinklage wants to become.
Peter Dinklage, I agree. I mean,
he was what Bar Sinister and the Underdog. It was the only awesome thing about that movie.
No, but the reason that I love House of M, the reason I love House of M so much is because of the setup for what happened. I mean, the story was cool. It was like a, you know, when you get somebody that has, you know, the power to warp reality, you're going to run into things like this. But the whole idea of like, well, should we tell her that she doesn't really have kids and she invented them with her mutant powers? Like that, like imagine that meeting. Like somebody should tell her.
Well, the one thing Marvel's always been smart with is, and this is why I don't think they've had to do the full-on relaunch, is because where they don't have the balls to relaunch everything, they have the balls to pretend shit never happened.
Right?
That is true.
You know, they'll just say, you know what? Let's get rid of Strife. He never happened.
And just nope.
And then now we have however many years later since Strife has appeared, he's coming back. You know, so they sometimes have not only just randomly
have the uncanny ability to pretend things never happened, but they equally have the ability to say, you know what, they did happen after all.
Right. You know how we said that didn't happen? That totally happened.
We don't.
They always tip me too,
one way
because,
or the other,
like,
we will do.
Well, they've always boggled me with their story arcs because it's like, and some you get it with a lot of the books this way, but I always envision this meeting when they're pitching a new storyline and they're like, this guy is going to be who's the brunt of the whole situation. We're going to build up to it. Okay, now who are we going to use? And they have like a Rolodex and they like spin it and grab a guy, you know, and it pulls out, you know, and it's Matter Eater Lad or, you know, whatever the case is, you know, and it makes no sense.
Hot Pete, the hell?
Right.
It's like, he's like the banjo guy, whatever his name is.
Stilt Man.
You know, they bring him in, and it's like, I know part of it, like, is their idea is like, nobody will see this coming. But most times it's because nobody gave a shit.
Right.
Nobody wanted that guy to come.
It's like the Scourge. Oh, he's killing off all the C-level villains? Why are we stopping him then? Why does this even have to be a comic book? It could just be J. Jonah Jameson.
At what point was that a problem? I mean, you know, do we really shed a bitter tear that Birdman is gone?
Right, the killer Shrike. Could you...
when they were doing, like, all the Acolyte stuff?
I mean, will we never again see the Black Abbot? It looks that way.
And then it kept coming back as, like, the return of the Acolytes. I'm like, did we care they left?
Right. Like, just give me a news story by J. Jonah Jameson. The Scourge kills 875 C-level villains. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I don't need Spider-Man in a...
In his vest.
I don't need Spider-Man in a... What was that issue with the Scourge where he's in a in an elevator trapped with the Scourge? Like, I don't need that. I don't need it at all.
Sorry, but Spider-Man has some of the stupidest villains of all time.
It's true. It's true.
I mean, I think, though, that the Hypno Hustler does need some more...
He does.
...coverage.
And again, I have to apologize. I believe it was to Jasmine for me bad-mouthing Vibe and saying, I hope they never bring him back. And then she's like, oh, he's coming back. I'm like, son of a bitch.
Well, yeah. You know, that's the funny thing about comics in general is, you know, that, you know, there's always the running joke, but you know somebody's going to bring one of these characters. And I honestly think some of these writers... They do it just because they're like, they just want to see if they can get away with it. You know, they want to see if they can throw the, you know, the Squirrel Girl in a book and everybody had a letter.
Right, like some of these writers have favorites that they shouldn't have. Exactly. You know,
that's probably why Cole is never going to get to write his story, because every obscure, strange character will show up.
That's true.
And like, there'll be no headline mainstream characters at all. It'll be like
the point where like Armadillo gets invited to join the Avengers. I'm out.
Right, right. Uncanny Avengers number 35, starring Dum Dum Duggan and D-Man. Like, no, what?
Well, see, and that's the other funny thing with Marvel is they like to release everything, and their way of relaunching or bringing new continuity to the series are just their titles. And so now every book it comes out now is The Uncanny, The Amazing, The Astonishing.
Fiesta Taco, yeah.
Yeah, but it's like... And it's not that those used to stick to, you know, you had your Amazing, Astonishing, Spectaculars were just Spider-Man's.
Right.
You know, you had your Uncannies and whatever for, you know, for X-Men. Now it's going everywhere. It's the Uncanny Avengers, you know, and it's like now they're actually adding all new to their titles.
It's actually got to the point where it's like, what haven't they been? They've never been uncanny. Let's go that way.
Right.
They're actually adding all new to the titles of the books now.
Spin the wheel of superlatives. See where we land.
It's like they're putting out issue one. It's a all new, like Dupe is getting his own series.
I know.
And so it's like new Dupe.
I'm sorry. What I said earlier about Armadillo being in the Avengers.
Cole's quitting
comic
books.
I'm now officially out that Dupe is getting his own series.
Cole's quitting comics as of now.
I'm quitting.
You know what's messed up is some of the stuff they're saying is they're almost like they're building a story to say that Dupe is the most powerful mutant in the world.
Of course they are. Why would you say?
Naturally, because it makes – no, it doesn't. It doesn't make anything.
Yeah, it doesn't – no.
It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make anything.
And how many
makes me pissed is what it does.
How many photographers do we need in the Marvel Universe?
Right.
There is no other profession in the Marvel Universe but photographer.
Seriously, there's an oversaturation of photographers.
And nobody's getting any pictures.
Right. They're getting pictures of other photographers.
They all take pictures of themselves. It's just
Instagram.
Dupe's latest photography is just a bunch of pictures of Peter Parker's camera webbed to a ledge or something.
Well, yeah, and that's the other thing. When are they going to start updating these things of... You show Jimmy Olsen with running around the camera. He's not going to be running around the camera like that anymore. It's digital or the phone cameras and stuff. You know, they're still running around with flashes. I want to know where he's like, is he going to like an Eckerd's?
Well, that's going
to
be the next crisis.
Right.
It's technical crisis.
Is he
where
going to
everybody's
like...
forced to get updated to the present day.
There's nobody to develop a 35mm film roll anymore in the DC universe.
He found like an old Eckerd still open that he could buy like a bar flash for his Polaroid.
Right. Wait, hold that. Hold that. Hold that. Hold that. Okay, now keep fighting.
Yeah, that's right.
You hear Spider-Man throwing out his little quips, and you hear smashes, explosions, and periodically.
It's right. It's like a Civil War photo. All right.
You've got Daguerre over in the background having fast-forwarded from the past on a time bullet.
So. Right.
And well, speaking of Dupe, that you'll have to correct me, because that's when I gave up on X-Force, when they suddenly shifted X-Force into some weird book.
And it had Allred as the artist.
Yeah, it was suddenly Dupe, and it went from being like the Liefeld General X-Force X-Men book to some weird reality show,
yeah.
Yeah, cartoon that I was like, I don't know what the hell is going on in this, but who are these people? I don't know, was that, you're going to have to tell me, because I stopped reading it because I was so irritated.
Well, they were trying that was a relaunch, you know? That was X-Force is one of those books that they have changed so many times to make it so many different things to try to fill a void and capture an audience that just has never worked.
And it makes no sense because, like, the original X-Force, like Liefeld or not, worked for what was going on with the X-Books at the time.
Right.
But then when they brought the X-Force back, when they were like the assassins for the, you know, the X-Men dark assassin type characters,
right,
with Wolverine, and that was working awesome.
And Domino and
yeah, Deadpool and all them, and they had the black and gray uniforms, and that was working really well too. But the crap they've done in between makes no sense.
No. They just keep trying to throw – they're throwing things against the wall and hoping that they stick.
Yeah, and I think they figure nobody cares enough about X-Force that they can just change it in any way they want.
Right.
But how long as a company do you keep relaunching a book that you like like you say, you know they know people don't give a crap. So why would you keep putting it out there to waste the time on that instead of putting out something you think would sell and be bigger money?
Well, I think that's the whole idea of this show, isn't it?
I think that the answer comes from the history of X-Force. The thing continues to sell no matter what they do to it.
Right.
I guess.
So it becomes the petri dish of whatever they're going to, you know, attach to it and see what grows. And then if nothing grows, they just, you know,
throw out the dish
and start over with another X-Force dish. All right, guys, we're going
to get to find out because all new X-Force number one launches in February.
Of course it does. Future times.
And this time it's going to be Psylocke, Phantom X, Marrow, and somebody else.
This time it's personal.
Hashtag buy it, fanboy.
That's right. Hashtag
I'll never get to read it.
All right, so we're going to wrap it up now. We did it justice. We did our time. We only got distracted a couple times with things like human hands, but it was totally worth it.
It's called people hands.
Oh, people hands. I'm sorry, right. People hands. We got a timely Manshitsu reference in there, so I'm fine with that. Cole, why don't you plug us up on your end?
All right, I'm going to plug up my end with, of course, this is the Jedi Cole Universe, home of this particular podcast and a whole slew of others. As of this last weekend, another podcast will be added to the network very soon.
Very nice.
Because there just can't be enough. I apparently had some time left.
It's the X-Force of
that time.
Of podcasting networks.
Find one that someone wants to hear.
That's right.
And this one's going to be a really good one. It's another movie-based podcast. It's going to be a lot of fun. Of course, speaking of like this weekend when Bobby, myself, Eddie were all at a convention, if you're looking for more conventions in Texas where you can or won't find us, depending on what we have to be doing that at that time, you can check out the Convention Awareness Project Texas, which is conventionawarenesstx.blogspot.com.
There you go.
And you can find you can actually find Andrew and myself and occasionally other people over at the United States of Geekdom at unitedstatesofgeekdom.com. If you want to write to us, please, please write to us at jcumail@yahoo.com.
There you go. Bobby, what you got?
I've got, we won't say that on the air. I still have my webcomic. It's on hiatus, but it is coming back. But there are 6 years worth of them to check out, and it's kind of tedious, so it'll probably take you 6 years to get through them all. It's laststopcomic.com. I still do the reviews for TV, movies, martial arts, comics on theexaminer.com, and I'm still being held hostage by Cole in the Jedi Cole Universe for doing the You Are Here cartoons for Sunday Funnies, as well as co-hosting What'd You Think with Mrs. Jedi Cole. And me and Mr. Cole have some other fancy projects coming up that we hopefully will be able to announce by AllCon.
There you go. So, as always, remember to buy, collect, and enjoy your comic books, especially the Elseworld stuff, because they're the most fun to read because you don't have to care about anything else besides just
reading. Or X-Force, because apparently you don't have to care about that either.
You're forced not to care about X-Force. Next week, we will be doing Rethinking the Legends, Another Time, Another Place. So expect things like Marvel 1601, some of the other Elseworld stuff, some of the cool like World War II type of relaunches. Bobby, will you join us again next week?
Oh, I guess so.
Oh, well, as long as you're excited about this.
Hold on. Next week, yes, I believe I can join next week. I go out of town this week, but I will be back in time.
Very nice. Does anybody have any parting words?
I think that just read comics until they stop being what they were.
It's very Nietzsche-esque.
Something else.
I have something to say that has nothing to do with the comics. So if you're going to make an adult film about Beauty and the Beast, you can't give them people hands.
You cannot. If we've learned anything tonight, if there's any takeaway, people hands is creepy. All right?
And Mr. Peppermint's a jerk. Peace.
Peace. All right. We'll see you next week, guys. Say goodnight, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Oh, you are the sunshine of my life.